Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School in La Mirada, and we're glad you've joined us here at Solid Ground. And all this week, Pastor Brian Parrish is going verse by verse through Joshua chapter 5, verses 9 through 12, in a study he's entitled Reproach is Removed. So let's turn to Pastor Brian Parrish from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
And because as believers, we're involved in a relationship with the Lord, we're also involved in what the Bible terms spiritual warfare. And Satan wants to take advantage of our failures and our sense of, not fulfilling the purposes of God. And he wants to magnify those to the point where we have no hope and we have no, real sense of courage to move forward, because it's like, well, what's the point? I keep falling short of God and he's not happy with me. I didn't fulfill his purposes, so there's no hope for me. And he wants to keep you in that vicious cycle going over and over and over again, where you never quite move forward into the good things of God. And you always, well, there's others moving into the promised land, and I'm still out in the wilderness, kind of wandering around, never coming into the good things that God has. And Satan wants to come in and bring these false accusations, because Romans 8 verse 1 says that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. A couple of passages of scripture that you may want to write down to help, and I want to help you deal with this issue of condemnation, is John chapter 10 verse 10 says, the devil or the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan wants to rip your life off. He wants to rip your life off from hope. He wants to rip your life off from the purposes that God has. He wants to destroy. And he wants to first blind people, and no pun intended with the glasses today, wants to blind people from the message of the gospel. He wants to have a veil over their eyes so they don't see their need for salvation. But once they come into the things of God, he wants to keep them at a place where they don't grow and increase in the goodness of the Lord. And so he wants to rip them off of the things that God has for their life and are given to them. Also in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, the Bible describes Satan as the accuser of the brethren, and he accuses us day and night. And he brings these accusations that are intended to make us come to a point of helplessness and discouragement where we just want to give up and quit. And he wants to hammer that over our life over and over and over again. And then that's magnified when we compound the problem by falling short of the grace of God. Because some of the things he actually says are true, but it's twisted to bring condemnation rather than repentance from our hearts. Now, how do we deal with that? I believe there is a victory that God has given to us, so we shouldn't be walking around in guilt and condemnation over the past, because the Lord is the one that has taken care of that. And turn with me in the end of the Old Testament, the book of Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah, you got Haggai, Zechariah, then Malachi. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. Move back one book to chapter 3, the book of Zechariah. And here is a wonderful picture on how to deal with condemnation. See, condemnation does not come from God. Romans 8 says, if the Lord's the one that justifies, who is it that condemns? Because God can't, in one voice, condemn you and justify you at the same point. He can't say, you're right with me, now you're wrong with me. He can't do both of those. One or the other's happening in our life. But then also sometimes it's not only spiritual, sometimes it's our own mind and heart. 1 John says that if our own heart condemns us, the good news is that God is greater than our hearts. So we have self-condemnation, but the Lord says that's not true. That's not what I'm speaking to you. That's why we need to go back to the scriptures and find out, how do we deal with sin? How do we deal with our past failures? And just a sense of guilt and falling short. How do we deal with these issues? Well, here's a wonderful picture in Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1. It says, then he showed me Joshua, the high priest. And this, if you're new to the Bible, it's not the same Joshua we're looking at. This is many years later. Standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And so you have a court of law, which is basically the scene here. Joshua, the high priest, represents the nation of Israel. And later in the text, it's going to say he has filthy garments on, which is representation of sin. So he's standing in the presence of the Lord in a sinful condition, and Satan's right there to pounce on him and bring accusations. And that's where an accuser would stand in a court of law, is on the right-hand side of that person. They'd say, I saw this person do this and this, or say this and this, and make these accusations. So that's the setting. She's accused her of the brethren, and he wants to demolish the hopes of Joshua and the hope that the nation of Israel has at this time. And where they're at here in Zechariah is that they were called to rebuild the temple once they got back into the land. And they started to do that, but for 14 years they stopped the rebuilding of the temple, and the people's hearts got discouraged away from having worship at the very center of the nation, and obviously with that, other things come in, other areas of compromise. And so God raises up Zechariah to be that leader to encourage people to rebuild the temple. And that's in chapter 4 where it says, not by might nor by power, by my spirit, says the Lord. God's going to bring these things about. And he's going to start by restoring the high priest who was that representative of the nation. But Satan doesn't want that to happen. Satan does not want man to be restored. He doesn't want you to have a sense of God's restoring power and desire and his mercy and his forgiveness. He wants to keep you down in the pit where there's no hope. God's not going to do anything through your life. There's no hope for you. You blew it. It's the end of the deal. 3 strikes and you're out. And he wants to bring these accusations, just kind of beat you down, 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 down. That's what takes place. How do we respond to that? Well, the text gives us the answer. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?" So they were on the verge or on the sense of being wiped out, not coming into the purposes of God. But God says, it's a brand plucked from the fire, one that I'm rescuing, one that I'm saving. Satan's trying to accuse and condemn. God's trying to rescue and save, or is going to rescue and save. And so he says, "The Lord rebuke you." I love that part. The angel of the Lord is most likely Jesus. He's saying, "The Lord rebuke you. Get out of here. Get out of La Mirada. Get out of La Mirada Calvary Chapel. You know, we're a brand plucked from the fire that he has a purpose and plan for. And have we fallen short? Yes. As a church, as an individual, sure we have. But the Lord's still with us. The devil will run and say, "Hey, you guys blew it. Your past prohibits you from moving forward." That's a lie from the pit of hell. And the Lord comes along and says, "Satan, get out of here. This is a group that I've rescued that I'm going to use for my purposes and plans." Let's read on. "Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him." And this is the awesome part, saying, "Take away the filthy garments from him." And to him he said, "See, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes." So that's a picture of what happened at salvation. We were standing before God in these dirty robes, and that dirt was our sin. Jesus comes along and says, "Give me that robe of sin, and I will wear it for you. I will go to the cross. I will pay the price for your sin." But it doesn't stop there. He also gives us rich robes. And this is where the exchange comes in, that if you don't understand this, you'll never be free from condemnation as a Christian. Jesus not only took our robe off and bore the guilt and condemnation of sin, he did something else. He added something to our life, which was his perfect righteousness. He gave that to us, as Romans 4 says. It was credited to our account. So now the perfect life that Jesus led, obedient to the law, obedient to the Father, was now given to us. So an exchange took place. And I'm surprised on how many Christians don't understand that point. They understand forgiveness and I'm on my way to heaven, but then they walk in condemnation because they don't realize that something was added to their life. As 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "The one who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him." So something was added to our life at that point. And that's why we are in a relationship where we're not under condemnation, because we're now clothed in a new robe. And it's not my robe of good works. It's the robe of the righteousness of God, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And not only does God forgive us and restore us and give us this robe to walk in of the righteousness of Christ, then he also commissions us to do his purpose and his plan. It gets better and better. Read on. And so he removed the filthy robe, verse 5, "And I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put the clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by." And that turban was that turban of the high priest that said, "Holiness unto the Lord." And basically saying, "I'm restoring you to that place of favor and blessing as high priest. Now go do your job. Go back to the nation of Israel now clean, purified, and now recommissioned to do the work that I've given to you." And that's the process that God is doing with the nation of Israel. And he's also willing to do that in your life, no matter how far you have fallen from the grace of God, how far you have fallen from his purposes and his tasks that he set before you. As soon as you turn to him, he's going to meet you with mercy. He's going to meet you with forgiveness. And he doesn't say, well, I forgive you, but hey, you blew it. I'm not going to accomplish anything in your life now. He says, let's move forward in the things that I have for you. Just like with the nation of Israel, let's move forward. Let's take Jericho. Let's take all the nations. The land is yours, that land of blessing. And that's how the Lord works. See, but our minds won't grasp that of the nature of God. It's too wonderful. It's too gracious that God would do that for me because I'm the one that sinned against him. I'm the one that fell short. And he's going to continually cleanse me, forgive me, and continue to restore me to the purposes that he has. It's too hard to believe. But that's the nature and character of God.